My friends Corey, Flying Penguin, and myself recently got back from Freaknik. While we're at Freaknik, we were discussing the various ways in which you should probably secure your box before going to a hacker convention. We plan on eventually doing a video, but this little audio file should cover a few basic things you should probably keep in mind before using your machine on an unsecured network, especially one at a hacker convention when there's so many people running sniffers and various penetration testing tools. This episode of Trot Radio will just be a quick overview of some of the things you should do and give you ideas of where to look further. If you have any ideas of things I don't mention, or just generally good ideas, please email me and I'll make sure I add them whenever we do the video version. First, a few obvious things before you go to a convention of these sorts. The first thing that should be obvious is make sure you've installed all the current patches for your operating system. Make sure you're not running any services that you wouldn't want someone to have access to. Go to another box, in-map your laptop or machine that you bring into the convention, and make sure you don't see any ports open that shouldn't be there. If you do see some services running that shouldn't be, you either want to remove them or just edit your settings so they don't start up automatically. In Windows XP, go into Administrative Tools, Services, and turn off any service you don't need. I would highly recommend turning off file and print sharing. Don't go through the Services panel for that. You can probably turn off just the service to kill that, but it'd probably be better if you go into the adapter settings on whatever adapter you're using, in this case probably the Wi-Fi card you use to connect to the wireless network at the convention, and just disable file and print sharing for Microsoft networks. You might be surprised how many people are running file shares they don't even know about. While I was at the convention, I did a quick scan with NetScan to see if I could find open file shares, and one of the people I was with happened to have their laptop wide open on a certain share. In Linux, you can edit what services start up automatically by using the init scripts, or I find it easier if you're using a Red Hat based distribution. There's a tool called ntsysv. I find that's the easiest to turn off unneeded services. And if you're on a Debian box, you can generally apt-get the package sysvconfig, and it makes it real easy to turn off services you don't want. My general rule of thumb is to turn off the services you don't need and don't just firewall them. However, the firewall adds an extra level of protection. It would be kind of difficult to go into all the details of using the Windows XP firewall or Linux's IP tables in this audio. However, I will point you to a few links in the show notes. IP tables is the command you want to pull up a man page for on Linux, and if you want to exercise more control over the Windows XP firewall that comes along with Service Pack 2, you can use the netsh command to get a finer level of detail, like restricting just certain IP addresses. The GUI you normally use to configure the XP firewall is kind of limited in what you can do with it. Possibly if you're running Windows XP, you might want to install a third-party firewall like Zone Alarms. Now, all these previous precautions I've told you to take just in case someone's using some penetration testing tools on the network or is trying to run exploit codes on whatever boxes they can find. However, those sort of problems are probably not as big an issue at a convention as problems with people running sniffers. A lot of protocols are designed inherently insecure when it comes to sending information in plain text across the network. While we were there at Freaknik, they were running a wall of shame on the gateway, and you could actually go to the web page and see who had used the clear text password. And anybody running something like Etocap, dsniff, or Etherrail could have easily plucked out tons of passwords. While I was at the con, I made a rather large pcap dump file to see what kind of traffic was going on at a HackerCon and analyze it, and there were quite a few people using insecure protocols like POP3 and IMAP. Pretty obviously, you don't want to send anything too important across the network. For instance, while you're at the convention, you probably don't want to access anything that has to do with your financial records, use your credit card, or anything of that sort. Luckily, most institutions now use SSL if it's something very important across the network. However, you might be visiting a particular computer security forum, and they don't use SSL for the forum, and your password will go across plain text. If you use the same password on that forum as you do for, let's say, your credit card company, that could be an issue. I personally recommend using different levels of passwords for different functionality. Like, you might use one particular password for a bunch of forums you visit that don't really matter much, and a different password for more important financial records and such. The best course of action is generally just don't visit anything really important on the internet while you're at a hacker convention. And if you do, change your password when you get back home. Now, the answer to a lot of these problems is to encrypt all your data that's going across the network. If you're visiting a website, make sure it's using SSL. But if you get a message about the cert can't be validated, It's possible someone's playing some shenanigans using EtoCap or dsniff, routing traffic through themselves, and basically proxying the SSL connection, and that's why you can't get a valid soot from it. I'd recommend if you see that message, cancel it and don't worry about visiting that site while you're there. You may want to think before you go to the con of setting up a VPN someplace that you have access. But you gotta be careful what kind of VPN you choose. Sometimes Linux can be a little bit difficult to configure a VPN. It's a lot of work, and generally there's a quicker, simpler solution by using SSH and doing dynamic port forwarding. As with SSL, someone could be doing some shenanigans with SSH and proxying it in the middle, so make sure you have your key pre-cached before you go to the con for whatever SSH server you're going to use. And if you happen to see something about the key has changed when you try to connect, cancel the connection, because more than likely someone's using something like EtoCap to sniff your SSH session. However, if you don't get that message, SSH is a great way to tunnel traffic across the internet and be reasonably sure that's secured. The way you do this is with tunneling and SSH dynamic port forwarding. All you really need is an SSH server running someplace off the network you're currently on, let's say a work computer or a home computer, and an SSH client that supports dynamic port forwarding on the machine you're going to use at the convention. If you're using Windows, use PuTTY. If you're using a Linux box, more than likely you already have OpenSSH installed. And more than likely, you can get a version of OpenSSH for whatever Unix-like operating system you happen to be using on your laptop. The way that dynamic port forwarding works is basically the SSH client on your laptop will create a port for you, and you'll connect to this port using your browser software or some other SOX 4 or 5 client. Connect to it, it'll tunnel the traffic through the internet using SSH so it's all encrypted, and it'll come out wherever your SSH server is. So make sure that the SSH server you're using is on a trusted network, or at least more trusted than one at a HackerCon. To set up a dynamic port using OpenSSH, drop out to the command line and type in SSH space dash uppercase D space whatever port you want to be open on your local host that will act as your SOX server space, and then the host name or IP address of the SSH box you want to connect to. If you're running Microsoft Windows on your laptop, I recommend downloading a tool called PuTTY. PuTTY is a very easy to use secure shell client, as well as supporting several other terminal formats. To set up dynamic port forwarding with PuTTY, either load a profile you've already created or create a new one. Specify which particular server running SSH you want to connect to. Then, on the left-hand side, you should see a tree view option menu. Go down to the very bottom, choose connection, and underneath connection, choose SSH. Underneath SSH, you should see auth, tunnels, and bugs. Click on tunnels. At the bottom of the tunnels config screen, you should see the option for dynamic. It'll be in a list of radio buttons that say local, remote, dynamic. Choose the dynamic radio button, and then underneath source port, fill in whatever port you want your client to listen to on the local host for SOX connections. Once that's done, all you have to do is configure your browser to use the SOX client on your local host. In Firefox, this is pretty easy to do. Either choose Tools, Options on a Windows client, or possibly Edit Preferences on Linux and other Unix-like clients. Once there, go underneath General, and then click on Connection Settings down at the bottom. Underneath Connection Settings, you want to choose Manual Proxy Configuration, and where it says SOX Host, type in Localhost, and on the port number, type in whatever port you decide to use. In my case, I used 123, other people use 666, or you might choose to use the normal SOX port, which is 1080. You'll probably also see the options for SOX version 4 or SOX version 5. Both the newest versions of OpenSecure Shell and PuTTY seem to work just fine if you choose SOX version 5. After that, all you have to do is click OK, get out of the config screen, and you should be able to web surf wherever you want through your SSH encrypted tunnel. Basically, the way it's going to work is your web browser is going to talk to the local port on your laptop, and from there, it's going to be SSH encrypted out to whatever server you SSH'd into, and hopefully that way no one will be able to read your communications as they cross the network. To be sure that everything's working, you'll probably want to go to a webpage like whatismyip.com and make sure that it's giving you the IP address of whatever SSH server you're using. Now, SOX is great for tunneling HTTP traffic. However, let's say there's some other application you want to use for your SSH tunnel. The easiest way is probably to use a SOX client of some variety. Two that I'd recommend looking into are FreeCap for Windows, or the Dante Socks client for Linux and possibly other Unixes. I have the links off to these particular clients in the show notes. By using them, you should be able to manage to get other protocols like IM working across your SSH encrypted connection. I hope that you found this episode of TROT informative. Shoutouts go out to my buddy Flying Penguin for showing me how to properly set up an SSH tunnel using dynamic ports, Corey, my other buddy who went along with me, and all the new people I met at Freaknik9. And this has been another TROT Radio.